Thanks for having me here. It's great to be in the city and talking about tech stuff.
So we're talking to musicians about a piece of technology that they really like playing with. Cool. So
maybe the basic ethos that I have is, just so you know, is that we always went by this thing of the machines work so good that they don't work at all. And we just had to like always trust only ourselves and not the machines. But it's nice to have machines that do work. So.
Tell me more what you mean by that.
Well, there's this Japanese saying also that you sharpen the knife too much and then you actually make it dull. So there's a point when you say you have to have an emotive force there to, you know, to inject into all of the stuff that's around you. Because you're communicating with your machines, but they don't really talk to you back. You might think they do, but they're not really talking to you back. There's thousands, maybe even tens of thousands of authors to create these new machines.
Right.
When before there were only maybe five or six to make a machine happen.
Tell me a little bit. So I want to try and describe what you do in the live setting. I mean, obviously you've worked with so many artists and you've done a lot of stuff, but when you're performing solo as Money Mark, tell me about sort of how you perform now when you're performing solo.
Well, I still have this idea of I want to know what's behind things, so I just kind of expose it. And that was something that I learned from my parents. My mother was actually the musician in the family, and my father was an electronic engineer. And for him to be involved in my whole life, in my world of music, I would get a piece of gear and he would take it apart. He said, "We got to take this apart and make sure we understand how this thing works." So that just stayed with me forever and ever. So when I do the live performance, I actually just bring everything out on a table and nothing's really hooked up. But I think even that is part of the theater of it, is like getting the cables and patching it all together and making a chain, and this is how it sounds in the end. So all of that to me is very entertaining. I always wanted to know what was behind, you know, in the wings of the theater and what was really making all that magic happen.
Tell me, can you give me an example of a piece of gear that you really like using now that is part of that process?
There's an amplifier that I have. It's a small amplifier. I brought one in the studio right now to show you.
Yeah.
It isn't the one that I used, but I simply would just plug a microphone into it and create a feedback. And feedback in a studio setting is a nasty sound. You kind of get you create feedback as a young engineer in a studio, and you're kind of like getting demerits from the studio head. But for me, I embraced it and I'm like, wow, Jimi Hendrix got to do it. And no one really formalized the idea of feedback. Like they did, there's no, I haven't really found any really good research on it. But there is a science to it. So you have an electronic circuit. So you have an amplifier, a preamp, or whatever. You have an amplifier and you have an electronic signal. And that microphone, as it's vibrating the diaphragm in there, it's creating a little tiny electrical signal.
Yeah.
And it's getting blown up into the amplifier, and then it comes out through the speaker,
and then it goes back in there, and it
starts to do something. And what it does is make this thing called feedback, and the feedback kind of is people don't like feedback; it hurts your ears or something. But there's all these different levels of feedback that I found. If you have a big, gigantic speaker and a microphone with a large diaphragm, you're going to get a low feedback, which isn't so. It's not piercing.
Yeah.
So I learned to control it. So I did this on stage. I don't know if you remember in my show, I put an echo, a little digital delay pedal, and a drum machine in the chain, and I create music with it. It's just that simple. The proximity of the mic to the speaker creates different kinds of feedback, and it becomes very musical. And it's there, it's exposed for the audience to see, like, the whole process. I'm not hiding anything, and it's just anybody can kind of do it.
You're known, of course, for working with the Beastie Boys. Can you talk about a specific Beastie Boys song that you feel you contributed to in a way that is kind of part of what we're talking about here, like exposing what's happening behind the machine or something like that?
Yeah, you know, in recordings, we don't really know what's going on. You know, I always thought that Jimmy Smith, the great organ player, if there was MTV at that time, he would have been the
huge
superstar. Because he was playing the bass pedals with his feet. and playing, comping the with his left hand and then doing the solo melodies on the other hand. That was incredible to see. And if anyone's ever, I mean, if you ever have a chance to see that, go and see that.
Yeah.
So a lot of these a lot of the things that are in recordings, we don't know the stories about it. And this is awesome that you're doing something like this. But there was a time when we were building the studio in Atwater Village at the same time as we were recording. We kind of didn't know what we were doing.
Uh-huh.
But
there's some beauty to that too.
Yeah, they were playing basketball in the one room, because that was one of the first things we put up into the studio. It was a half-court basketball hoop. And there was, you know, I think on Paul's Boutique, there was some ping pong going on. I was screwing a screw into the wall, and it made this incredibly amazing sound. It was, you know, there was a, and I was doing a whole wall of this. And Yout came in, it's like, wow, we should just record that. And we recorded it, and I think it's in the song Stand Together. As one of the, like, one of the signature sounds in that song.
Wow. Is you drilling something into the wall?
Yeah, and anyway, you know, all of the sounds in synthesizers are just the original sounds. All sounds are some kind of wave and some kind of filter, and you know, is a chain. You can kind of mimic any sound with a good synthesizer.
You've brought something in to play with and show me. You know, because this is radio, we should describe what it is. You have a small Roland amplifier in here plugged into the studio. You've got a quarter inch cable coming out of it, like a regular instrument cable coming out of it, but then the end of that cable appears to be split up, and you've got something plugged into your iPhone, but then you've got a couple other cable ends coming out of this. Can you describe what it is and demonstrate it, maybe?
Surely. So I picked this amp to bring into the studio here because it's battery operated, and I love battery operated stuff.
Why?
Well, you can take it anywhere. I mean, you can be in the outback, and you can be in the forest, or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's kind of sexy to have, like, cool sounds out in the middle of nowhere.
Totally. Okay.
So, and then they're low wattage, so you can't really get electrocuted. And there's a lot of experimenting you can do with, like, low wattage stuff.
Uh-huh.
And you can't really break that stuff, too. High wattage stuff I'm kind of afraid of, to hack into that kind of stuff. But basically,
electrocute yourself as drastically. Well, yeah, with the
exactly. Your hair
stuff.
Won't stand up on end, and you won't be afraid of it so much. And I'm not really totally into circuit bending. I don't really, you know, that's not really my thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of the random element kind of hacks and kind of things are not my thing. But this is pretty straightforward. So I'm just using my phone as a sound source, and I have a song playing in there, let's say. Or it could be anything. It could be a speech or anything that's creating a sound.
Right.
And basically, it's going into the amplifier. But I'm kind of, because I have the two cables,
yeah,
I'm going to break the circuit. And now when it's playing, the music is playing.
Right. And what you're doing right now is you're touching the two ends
of the
these
ground.
Two chords, the ground, to a quarter. You've got a quarter in your hand.
I'm touching the two of the instrument cables, the guitar, let's call them guitar cables.
Uh-huh.
The ground is the outer post, and the inner post is the actual signal. And I'm kind of just touching it so that it's really close together, and then I'm completing the circuit.
So the music is playing right now. We just don't hear it.
That's right.
And to hear it, you're touching the, you know, you're connecting the ground.
Right, and it's no different than when the siren's going down the street and you get your finger. When I was a kid, I would get my finger and kind of make it go, poke
it
in and
ear.
Out of my ear to make it make it do a little rhythm in my brain. I'd be the only one, you know, I'd be entertaining myself with some sound source. Anyway, here is I'm I can make a rhythm by just touching the quarter onto the tips of the signal. I'm playing this William Onyebar track, and I can actually go along with the rhythm too.
That is awesome.
It's the most simplest thing ever.
But it's really cool. Like, it's an interesting idea, and an idea, obviously, that you're familiar with, which is you're making a rhythm out of a sound that is constantly going. So it's not like you're, like, necessarily combining sounds. You're building a rhythm out of No sound and sound.
That's all that it is, yeah. That's like one of the basic things. There's a constant sound and you're just breaking it up into little pieces.
It's interesting to me that you're using your iPhone and an amplifier. Are there any other pieces of like modern technology or, you know, mobile consumer technology that you have found to be useful?
Well, when I was growing up, I would love to, it was a monthly thing where I'd change the oil in my car and change the spark plugs. And you can't do that anymore with a new car. You just can't get into it. And so there's these special machines. When there's a machine invented, there's another machine invented to maintain that machine. And it goes on and on and on. And so the hacks that I do and the little kind of the gears that I like is just really simple stuff. And even then, there's this idea of obsoletism where something is just... it goes away so fast.
Yeah.
Because we're trying to progress, you know, or we're trying to get
You're putting air quotes around progress here.
Right, right. Yeah. And we're trying to get to the newer thing. And I think sometimes if we just stayed still for a moment, we'd see a whole another thing arise. So I have this kind of habit of going back to the old stuff, like another air quotes, and push those things to the limits and figure out what those things are actually about and what they can actually do.
So is there an example of that? You've got an iPhone here, but I think you play with old computers and things like that. Is there a piece of gear that you really like that's quote unquote old?
I mean, there's a guitar. There's this thing called electric guitar.
What do you like to do with the guitar?
I like
what
to
does
mess
a money
with,
a money mark guitar solo sound like?
I like to mess with the pickups because I think that's the most interesting. Anytime there's a transducer involved, there's a chance to get in there and do something.
Just define transducer?
A transducer is something that will get an electrical signal and pick up. It will absorb some vibration and make it do something else. So a speaker is a transducer and a microphone is, and a guitar pickup is just like a microphone. But speakers and microphones are the same thing. They can
be
interchanged.
Reversed.
Yeah, the oldest hack that I know is using a headphone for a microphone. And you would see you'd see photos of the old DJs talking into a headset. You're like, what are they doing? And you could actually use a headset for a microphone. The most inexpensive hack ever is to get a cheap microphone and get a needle, which is what Ad Rock did for a lot of the Check Your Head recordings.
Uh-huh.
Get a needle and just kind of poke a hole in the diaphragm, kind of break it.
Wait, what would that... That
really makes a distortion. Yeah, it makes a distortion, but right at the source, not in the chain. So you don't need a distortion pedal. Maybe I wasn't supposed to spill that one, but...
That's fascinating.
So maybe Julian Casablancas made this his whole, you know, career of having this kind of sound.
Right.
And I actually heard from Nick, the guitar player, telling me a story about how the record label just was like, this is unacceptable. We cannot put music out that sounds like this. I think sometimes the artists know better. They know their fans better. They know their sound better. But also, you know your process, too. You know, like, hey, that's something. That's my thing, you know.
Yeah.
I do that. And also, it's the funnest thing about it is to give away the information, I think. It's this whole kind of commons idea. I totally love to do that.
It's almost like a more open version of sharing a magic trick.
It's right. Exactly. That's what it is. But it also, it's like, hey, I'm the one who did it. Hey, look at me. And I did this thing and that's cool. And you should try it in your music.
I'm going to try that. I'm going to poke, I'm going to poke a hole in a mic diaphragm. Maybe not the mics in here, but yeah. But that's really interesting. I never knew that. Money Mark, thank you so much for talking with us.
All right. Thanks for having me.